Well, welcome to our pre-Christmas Eve service. As you can see, it looks a little bit different today, doesn't it? How many of you attended the drama yesterday, The Unlikely Christmas Shepherd? Yeah, good bunch of you. Well, we're going to have that instead of the second service today, a wonderful gospel message. So if you didn't attend it yesterday, weren't able to make it, I hope you'll consider staying here at 11 o'clock to watch it. And I hope you've invited someone. It's a great gospel message. Lots of energy went into it. I want to thank our Winds of Worship and Music team this morning for their effort. There's been a lot of effort put into this service this morning, as you can see, and really appreciate all the work that you've done. It's a little different. I've promised that we're going to get out of here in an hour so that our team can set up for the drama afterwards. So today you're going to hear a lot of music, you'll hear a lot of scripture, and some message, okay, about John the Baptist. But let's pray and prepare our hearts, okay? Father, thanks for the message of the gospel, Emmanuel, God with us to come. What a wonderful season it is to remember and celebrate with friends and family, reminding us the true reason for hope and peace on this earth. Prepare us for that, Father, as we go through this message of preparation, to be your people of God, to bear forth this message of grace and peace. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a people prepared for the Lord. This week, 1 week till we get to celebrate the Christmas event. It's an event that was planned before the creation of the heavens and before time itself. It's a day when heaven broke open and the Son of God came to visit us and descended to live among us men. But there's a story that happens actually a little bit before that story of the Christmas event. And it centers briefly on a man, a prophet. The Bible says a prophet who was the greatest born of woman. And it's a story that's overshadowed by the Christmas story, and rightly so. But it's an important part of the overall story. And we're going to look at that today. Because it's the introduction of the Christmas event, where God, as promised ages before, a messenger would be sent to prepare the minds and the heart of God's people for the Messiah to come. He was the herald of the Messiah. And if we look closely at this ministry of John the Baptist, this relative of Jesus, we can get a glimpse of our own role as prophets, bearing and bringing forth the message of the Messiah, the Savior. And this is particularly important at this time of year, when we're going to meet and celebrate with our neighbors and families. And we'll certainly be celebrating this with people who are empty of faith. Because if you don't have a relationship with the Savior, it's very likely you'll be sensing that something is missing from your life. Or maybe a believing relative that you're going to visit with, or a neighbor who has forgotten that God has come to live with us and in us. Romans, Paul writes, the time is here. The hour has come for you to awake from your sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than we have first believed.
Beginning in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 17. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they both were very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar. Can you see him? When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
Thank you, Gordy. So this introduction of John into God's story of salvation is in itself a beautiful picture of God's grace. It's the story of a devout and virtuous husband and wife, barren in their advanced years, disgraced really in the sight and the eyes of those of their culture. And Zechariah, who would be ministering in the temple, really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, would be visited by God's messenger, Gabriel, one we haven't heard of since the prophet Daniel. The first words from God, the prophet that we've heard in hundreds of years, a significant event, come to Zechariah. And he's granted, they are granted, the blessings of a child that will be great before the Lord, Scripture says. And we know of similar stories, don't we? Abraham and Sarah. In their very old age, this miracle offspring, Isaac, through whom would grow a great nation, Israel, and through whom the Christ would come. Or the birth story of Samuel, the prophet, his mother Hannah, who was righteous and devout but barren and disgraced. She was granted an offspring who would then come to anoint the king David and be the prophet of the great king. The story of God's grace through a child runs through Scripture. But this John, this boy John, he would be a very special prophet. Again, one who none born of women would be greater. He would be the forerunner, the announcer, the proclaimer of the entrance of the Messiah into the world. The one awaited by the people of God for centuries. This one to come would be the one who would ransom and redeem Israel and slay and save them from their enslavement and from their suffering. Quite a ministry this Emmanuel would have. People today desperately want to be cured from their enslavement, don't they? People today want to be freed from their suffering as well, don't they? And it's Emmanuel, God Himself, who is here and who alone has the power to save and release us from that. But we need to slow down a little bit and we need to consider what God is doing here with John. Like any story that we read in the Bible over and over again, we could miss in its familiarity the privilege and grace that God gives His people. So we read here that God gives John the grace to do several things. First, to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. John would do this, the prophet. He would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to wisdom and righteousness, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And it's just like God to grant His people like us the privilege and grace to turn people towards Him. God has chosen us as His instruments to bear the message of Emmanuel to the world. But it's not us that changes the hearts of people. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that's within us, and it's the Spirit that is at work in the world and in their hearts, in the hearts and the consciences of our friends and our families who don't know God. It's the Spirit. And there's two things that I notice about John's ministry here when we read. And that he first was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says again that the Spirit was inside of him, would fill him. And he would go before him in the Spirit and power of Elijah. John would go before the Messiah in the Spirit and power to announce His coming. John was empowered by God and dependent upon the Spirit of God. And his life was marked by devotion to God and a focus on God's kingdom. And if we, the people of God, are to be prepared to bear the message of Emmanuel, we also need to be completely dependent upon the Spirit of God. So our preparation for the Christmas celebration is of supreme importance. Our preparation must begin with prayer, and it ends in perfection with obedience. So this week, will you pray for God's Spirit to fill you? Will you pray for God's Spirit to go before you and enter into the hearts and the minds of those who you will be with? It's the Spirit. I have a story of my own family experience with my brother, Andy. And I may have told some of you this before, but he's a tough Marine. He's been through some tough times. And I was a new Christian, and I needed to share this message of the saving grace of Christ. But I didn't know how to share it with him. He was my older brother. Yeah. So I prayed. Easter was coming, and I knew that God wanted me to tell them about Jesus. So God put it on my heart to pray. It wasn't my own idea. He knew I needed to pray. So I prayed for 4 months for my brother and me, because I was afraid. And that Easter meal, we sat down. And as usual, being this new Christian, my mom and dad wanted me to pray for the meal, so I did. And I brought forth this simple message from 1 Corinthians 15. That Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture, and on the third day He rose again in fulfillment of the Scripture to save us. Paraphrase John 3:16. It wasn't pretty. So nothing. Nothing for 3 years. And I get this phone call. This man sobbing on the other end of the phone. And it's my brother. He tells me, I've come to know Jesus. And he said, and I remember 3 years ago, you at the dinner table telling us about the gospel. I was so mad at you that you would have the gall to think that I wanted to hear that. And it had stayed with him for 3 years. So we need to pray. Pray that God will fill you. Pray that He will open up the hearts of those who you're going to see. And let Him do the work. The pressure's off. It doesn't have to be pretty. Pray for a spirit to go before you, but be prepared to respond to the difficult things He asks of you. Because God has chosen you as His instrument to bear the message of Emmanuel to your family and to your neighborhood.
Luke 1:67 and following. John's father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from all and the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember His holy covenant, the oath He swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before Him all our days. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace."
So John's father, Zechariah, he'd been without the ability to speak for Elizabeth's entire pregnancy. And at the birth of John, he praises God. And he reveals to us more about John's ministry. He says in verse 76 and 77 that he will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, speaking of John, to give His people the knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of sins. as a new covenant prophet of God, John was to bear the message of God's truth, as are we. To give people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. And the message we bring with our words, bring a message of truth that shines light to the living and to those who are living in the darkness and in the shadow of death. That's the message we bring. And it's our role and our privilege to guide our families and friends in to this path of peace, as was John's. It's a message of mercy that we're bringing. But it's also a message of personal responsibility. John would preach a message that begins with repentance. Emmanuel's coming means both salvation and wrath. Forgiveness and judgment. And this is the Christmas message. And it's a difficult message for human ears. It's a message that must be given with compassion and mercy, wisdom, and prayer. Because merely human ears will reject the message. So we return to the necessity of preparation. Preparation of our own hearts first through prayer and confession. And intense prayer for those who we intend to give the message to. Because the messenger and the message are inseparable. And this we learn from John the Baptist. Your first words will be unspoken words. And they begin in the heart. Has your heart been seasoned through prayer and confession to give a message that's motivated by true compassion, mercy, and wisdom? And that's our prayer. That's my prayer. That will be our motivation. And John's ministry will teach us one very much more important thing.
Warms our hearts, doesn't it? Luke chapter 3, verses 2 to 9. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the words of Isaiah 40, the prophet said, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all the people will see God's salvation." John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked.
What should we do? The last piece of John's ministry that we'll look at here is that our profession, and that's a living profession of faith, that is that our own lives bear witness to our message of faith, to the message of faith. It's our own lives. Because John's message of salvation was a message of faith that begins with repentance. And Luke states it this way in verse 3 here. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So our message, our life message during this Christmas time must be a witness that is immersed in our own repentance. Salvation begins when we are brought to a place of repentance. That was John's message. And our message will have zero effect if we don't live that first. If our desperate prayer is for our friends and our family to repent and acknowledge the truth of the gospel, then we have to model this to our friends and family. And not modeling that is possibly the biggest stumbling block to our message. Do I need to repent? Do we need to repent and offer the same grace God gives to us? Do I need to give that grace to my wife, husband, friends, family, sons, and daughters? Does that need to come first this Christmas season? Do I have something that I need to confess to God or to a trusted friend this Christmas? Am I holding on to some fear or to some mindset that pushes people away from me this Christmas? Do I have a judgmental spirit that condemns people who have different values than me this Christmas? Or do I have the confidence in Emmanuel that he can rebirth hearts, heal souls, and raise the dead this Christmas? I have another brother. Another brother who years later I had been separated with. Steve, he's a year older than me. And he took up philosophy at Berkeley. So he was a thinker. And I wasn't. But we had something come between us as brothers before I became a Christian. And it separated us for years. And I had a good friend and mentor who brought to mind a passage in Matthew chapter 5, after I became a Christian, and reminded me of the passage that said, hey, if you're bringing something to the altar, you know, like your faith and yourself, but your brother has something against you, be reconciled first to your brother, and then, only then, bring something to the altar. So he stayed on me, because I didn't respond right away. He stayed on me for a few months, and so eventually I realized that, yeah, I need to do this. But I wasn't wrong. My brother was actually wrong. And I'm still working on that. But I called him one day, just out of the blue, and I asked him to forgive me. And an honest question of forgiveness. I'm sorry that I've stayed away. Forgive me for neglecting and not calling. not pursuing our relationship. So he responded immediately after years of separation. And today, I believe he has a true confession of faith in Jesus. But if I hadn't been the first, I don't know where we'd be today. I was a little slow, I have to admit. A little slow to this faith thing. The true Christian message is difficult. Honestly, the true message is difficult for human ears. But we're commanded to herald this message before Christmas and prepare the hearts of others. And we do this with our speech, of course, and as representations of Christ, Emmanuel. We do it with our deeds and our attitudes. So are we this year going to be a people who pray that we would do this naturally with compassion and mercy and prayer? Will that be natural? Will we respond to the privilege of being chosen by God to bear forth the true Christian message? And are we going to give the effort to accept and embrace God's grace, which he offers through prayer, confession, and repentance this Christmas? Will we be prepared?